Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Always great to be here. Always great to see so many people tuning in. Today, I just want to have a small celebration for myself and for everyone else who got the top voice badge from LinkedIn this past week here. A lot of great voices on LinkedIn got their top voice badge and joining, you know, the celebrities and the famous of Richard Branson, Bill Gates, and who are all these people? Because we are leading voices on LinkedIn. That's amazing. And I saw a lot of finance and accounting creators as well. I think that's amazing for all of us here on the Hashtag Finance Master Show as well, because it provides motivation for doing the work that we do, for bringing value to all of you on a daily basis, which is what many of us are doing. Back to the show. The topic of today is benchmarking the finance function. It's part of the Modern Finance Function series. So very keen to talk to you about these benchmarking practices and how it can benefit the finance function. I'll be going through the article from this morning called Why Benchmarking is Key to Unlocking Performance in Finance. Let's get into today's topic. So benchmarking is an essential tool for assessing the status quo, driving performance, and gaining a competitive advantage in the finance function. In today's show, we'll discover how assessing the value app of the modern finance function can not only uncover valuable insights, but highlight areas for improvement and create new objectives. Let's start by asking the right questions. First, let's ask, what is it we're hoping to achieve with benchmarking? As we've seen throughout this series here, CFOs in the modern finance function have a digital transformation mindset driven by where they're most likely to get results and include their people, their processes, and ultimately business performance. We all want to accelerate our progress. So secondly, we need to ask, what business issues are we trying to solve and why? Based on company culture, a clear vision, and our strategic goals, we can choose the areas where the biggest benefits will be felt. Considering key metrics, we need to go from traditional financial metrics to value-added objectives. So here's the story of Xerox. Perhaps you've known it, who knows? But the origin of the benchmarking practice can be traced back to Xerox in the 80s. 1980s, that is. The new CEO took over a company in free fall. The market share had dropped from 87% to just 17% of the original value in less than a decade, and the profits had declined from $1.1 billion to under $300 million in under 4 years. To arrest the decline, they implemented a process of understanding their practices against those of their competitors to try to win back market share. They learned lessons from their outperforming competitors and turned themselves around to offer better services and business practices to our internal customers and stakeholders. The result of benchmarking at Xerox led to their Leadership Through Quality program and ended up revitalizing the company and making it competitive once again. So what can we learn from this example and the benefit of value-added benchmarks? Well, we have different options of benchmarking to consider first. Shift to holistic impact. We've noted that modern finance functions are more and more focused on value-added metrics like customer satisfaction and strategic contribution. These metrics offer a more comprehensive view of a finance function's impact, moving beyond traditional financial indicators. I'm not saying we shouldn't look at traditional financial indicators, I'm just saying we should also look beyond them. But it's important to be sector-specific. One size doesn't fit all. Industry-specific metrics provide a more accurate and relevant measure of performance tailored to the unique challenges and opportunities of each sector. So we need to be specific and analytical. It follows that high-performing finance teams often set industry benchmarks. By analyzing their practices, other organizations can identify and adapt strategies to their context. This approach is not about imitation, but about learning and innovating. Whether we're talking about internal benchmarking between units from within the same company or industry, competitive benchmarking between ourselves and direct competition from the same industry, or strategic benchmarking aimed at strategic actions and organizational change, there are key areas we can focus on to categorize and understand our performance. If we take an example, not necessarily from finance, but just business in general, You could be the best performing organization or company within an industry, but if the industry overall is not delivering good performance, you know, doesn't do so much to be the winner of the losers, right? So there you need to benchmark yourself against entirely different or at least adjacent industries that might be doing better. Sourcing reliable data for benchmark analysis can reveal areas for improvement in the size, cost, and efficiency of your finance function. So how do we go about starting to look at where and what to benchmark? And I'd say before we continue, I've been involved in a good few exercises of benchmarking the finance function. And it's no small exercise for sure. And it's important that the data is used for taking relevant action. It should inform decision-making like with anything else we use of data. And when your finance function is benchmarked against similar sized companies, probably within similar industries, you need to really do something significantly to move, because all other finance functions trying to improve, same time you're improving. All right, so yes, it can be useful to benchmark. You can get a lot of learnings, but the real difference comes when you say, okay, what actions are we going to take that will propel our finance function above and beyond, let's say, the next in line or all the competitors that we're looking at? Because we know from studies that companies that perform great typically have great finance functions that are particularly good at supporting business leaders making better decisions. So what are some of the things we should look at? People, for one, using culture as a benchmark is an innovative approach to measuring the positive performance-oriented culture of our organizations, which can significantly add to the chances of success within the finance function. Remember, it's not just about the numbers. It's about how teams work together, approach challenges, and drive innovation. And that's what can set you apart and help you stand in your sector. Give your finance teams new ways to develop and fine-tune underutilized skills, and you're on to a winner. This is probably difficult to benchmark, especially against other companies. So you probably have to ask some softer questions in terms of how is the collaboration between teams and how is it changing over time? How are people being involved in different decisions and so on? So it's more kind of the soft data. Then you can look at your financial processes. It's important to have a roadmap for effectiveness in finance, but assessing and creating one takes data and metrics. Key performance metrics enable you to identify opportunities for saving on costs or ways to increase the effectiveness of your processes. Whether that be in the size and scale of your finance function, effectiveness and efficiency of your reporting processes, robustness of internal controls, or gaining a better handle on your working capital. Where does the comparable data come from? Many leading third-party providers of independent and high-quality information can help by tailoring the analysis to your specific industry sector, company size, and location. And of course, you can get data on this from many different places. You can also participate in networking groups and ask simply the other participants, what's their cost of finance in relation to revenue? What success stories do they have in terms of how they have created value? Those questions you can ask. You could also benchmark internally if you have different parts of the business that are supported by finance function. You can compare those with each other. That can also be helpful. But I can certainly also recommend, if you want to really do this for let's say in a professional way, getting some of these third-party providers. They are really professional in what they do. It might feel like a heavy process, but they also do it well. And the insights you get from this benchmarking can be incredible and inform a next level vision and performance of the finance organization. The third one, before we maybe ask people if they want to come up on stage, is your performance. How can you tell if your function's performance is best in class? We need to learn from the leaders. As stated, we would benchmark ourselves against the industry's best. But it's not about playing an imitation game. It's about robust learning, mistakes and successes, and innovating solutions that fit your own team's context. After all, as the saying goes, smart people learn from their mistakes. Wise people learn from the mistakes of others. By analyzing others' practices, organizations can better identify strategies and initiatives that could be adapted to their own context. Similarly, top-performing modern finance functions are leveraging technology to enhance efficiency, accuracy, and decision-making. From advanced analytics to AI, technology is a game changer in the finance world. Before we continue, I'm just going to open the floor. If someone has questions or perspectives to add, feel free to raise your hand and come on up. Maybe you have been in a finance function where you did benchmarking. What did you learn from that? How was that exercise? Also curious to hear from examples from the audience here. We have Abdi on stage. Abdi, feel free to unmute and introduce yourself and share your perspectives.
I add to financial how to success your business. The first thing you need to be investment to make a full investment in your organization, then to be best your performance. The second is needed for service your flow to list your service your flow. The second, the big problem is how to manage your organization or your business. When your business is very organized, very good, your business will be good. If not, it is not good, the business will be bad. Okay, so that how we can manage or to be best the financial of the world or an organization, we need new invention or new creation. Example, how to distribute the finance in organization, because the all finance is stored in the bank is stored and other issue is needed how to distribute, how to use the best way. When I ask you, Barada, what's the problem, exactly problem of the world, financial problem? What is exactly problem of the financial problem in the world?
Thanks, Abdi. I'm not exactly sure how exactly it relates to the benchmarking, but of course, when you have built your business and your finance function, it's a good time to start benchmarking it, to learn from others and get ideas in terms of how to remain competitive and become even more competitive. So definitely that could be relevant there. Like I said, you know, it's amazing when you go through a benchmarking exercise. I've done it with third party vendors several times, and you kind of see your organization plotted in against similar finance functions. You're like, yeah, we're actually doing pretty well here. You're feeling, but then you're seeing yourself plotted in. This is real data, right? They're not cheating. They're not trying to place you badly so that they can advise you a lot. And you'll really learn a lot. And all finance functions, many finance functions, at least they have a vision of like, we want to be best in class or the best at this or the best at that. But true world-class finance functions, they are cheap and good. So some might feel like that those are limiting factors. But imagine the finance operations driven completely by technology and people only spending time on the strategic or the tactical value add doing business partnering, for instance. Yes, those people you have, they might be expensive, but because so much of it is driven by technology, the total cost is actually not so high. You can be cheap, and the ones you have, they're really, really good. Those are the ones you decide to invest in. So it's definitely possible, but definitely also hard to become one of those world-class finance functions. We have Mustafa on stage. Mustafa, feel free to share your perspectives or ask questions.
Great. It's great to be on this podcast this afternoon. But it's just a question I would like to know, because I know most of the attendees on the platform are great CFOs and the likes. But as a upcoming professional in the area of finance, I would like to know this. Can we conclude by saying that, for example, like efficiency ratio or the profitability ratio, if the result is giving me as an individual company comparing it to another company, can we use that benchmark or use the kind of result to justify that it is the same scenario that is happening to me as a company or as an entity should be the same narration? I don't know, maybe my question is clear.
I think I understand what you mean there, Mustafa, right? I think it's to what level of depth do you need to go before it actually makes sense to compare companies? I think if you do it too high level, you will definitely have a lot of uncertainties around, well, our situation is just different than the others, right? But at the end of the day, you are competing for talent, you are competing for investments and whatnot. And if you're looking at things from the outside, you know, you can decide whether you want to place your money in one industry or the other. You can decide if you want to apply for finance roles in one industry or the other. So even though you might feel like, well, yeah, just because they're in a very good industry, by all means, I mean, you should still compare yourself to them and learn from them. So it might be tough if you're in a not so good industry. But after all, I mean, you are still competing for a lot of resources against these perhaps world-class finance functions. So you should compare yourself to the best, even though it might feel like a tough and challenging comparison.
That was great.
Great stuff. Thanks for being on the stage, Mustafa. So what's the beneficial ripple effect of positive benchmarking? Continuous learning and upskilling, crucial in keeping the finance function relevant and competitive. The landscape of finance is constantly evolving, and so should the skills and knowledge of those who work in it. There's a growing focus on value-added metrics. Benchmarking is more than a performance assessment tool. It's a catalyst for transformation. Even small changes identified through benchmarking can lead to significant improvements. It's about understanding the bigger picture and making informed decisions that drive the finance function forward. So some questions for the audience, and I'll share a bit more as well. How do you do benchmarking your finance function? Let's hear some of your experiences, best practices, or interesting lessons learned together. We will continue to redefine what it means to be a modern finance function, and we'll do that with your knowledge and insights as well. I think for any new finance leader coming into an organization, benchmarking can be very helpful. And we are doing this, whether we are doing it actively or not, because we come with our own experiences. And we've probably been in other companies before and seen how it's done. And where we get into a new company, they somehow always do it differently. And so we're informally doing benchmarking. If you're a CFO taking on a new role, starting with a benchmarking exercise would be very valuable knowledge to inform the vision that you want to make for the finance function, the transformation plan that you want to make. Not having it means you are lacking data to actually measure your progress. And even if you don't do an external benchmark, you might want to establish some internal metrics where you can say, let's together agree to improve this, because what I hear, let's just say the CFO goes around talking to people in the organization, we're not happy with how this process is running, or we feel like we could do better. So it's always great to do a bit of benchmarking, whether formally or informally, when you start a new role, especially if you are a leader. Of course, it's a bit more difficult as an individual, but even individuals are doing this as well. Clifford, welcome to the stage. Feel free to unmute and express this to your respectives.
Okay, thank you, Anders. So Anders, my contribution is that to be proficient in the finance function, you need to have three key success factors. The first one I see, the people's, because the finance team or the finance function is made of people. The second one is the best practice and procedures, because if you don't have the best procedures, you cannot succeed at the finance function. And the last one that I see to be excellent finance function, the tools. I have some question about the tools. As you see today, what are the future of tools used in finance? For example, today we used to compile a large amount of data. And what is the future of our finance function? Will we migrate to automated treatment of data, like using AI? Or do you think that we will let Excel, or will we move to Tableau or other websites? Will we have some specific companies that will proceed the outside and give us the result? What's for you the future of the tools used by the finance function?
It's a great, of course, a big question, Clifford. But I think if we look at finance operations, so where we produce the numbers, you know, with accounting and, you know, procure to pay and all these other processes, I think that space will largely be automated. It is in some companies today. I've cited many times over the CFO Now report from Accenture back from 2021, where they said financial operations, transactional processes were automated already 60% now. I believe with the right tools, and those tools are already available, for some of these processes, we can go all the way up to 95%, where the only human intervention is on exception handling. So for me, we already have the tools today to almost fully automate the data production. Now, it's not like that in most companies, for sure, and a lot of it can still be very manual, but the tools are there. Now, that's producing the numbers. Then we need to do some forecasting and budgeting. And there we also have tools available to forecast more accurately without having to let humans do it. So those tools are also there today. Doesn't mean all companies have it. In terms of then communicating and analyzing numbers, that's probably where we still need a lot of human intervention. By now, even if you have Tableau, which has great visuals, for instance, you still need a human to sort of tell the story behind the dashboard. So I think there's a lot to do there. And in terms of analyzing the data, you might be able to use AI to analyze numbers, but you still need to feed it with the right business issues to look for. Otherwise, the analysis will be pointless. So a lot for humans to do, the way I see it, in the foreseeable future. We can discuss how long that is, but it's changing. It is changing. And if you benchmark your finance function today versus your competitors, and you haven't done a lot of transformation in the past 2 years, you would feel like, or you will see that you are lagging behind because it's moving fast and the modern finance function has already moved a lot in the past many years. Also just got Tina on the stage here. We have opened up the Q&A. So if someone else wants to join as well, please feel free to do so. Good to have you again back, Tina.
Hi, Anders. Thank you so much. I have one question on this to add up on what you have said. Basically, I would like to ask you, how do you think that companies should approach the benchmarking process versus the competitors? Do you think should they do it in a specialized project team internally inside the company, or maybe start hiring more consultants? And if the latter, then how should they be choosing between different consultants? Thank you.
Also a great question. I should say I'm not paid by any benchmarking practices for sure, but I definitely recommend getting an outside-in perspective here, not just because they're professionals at what they do, but also because they have the database of other companies and how they are doing it. You might be able to buy it or get access to some of it and still do it yourself, but then you're probably just not doing benchmarking on the same principles as the data you have in the database. So while, of course, it costs money and can seem like expensive, if you really want to do this well, I definitely recommend contracting some of the external parties to do the benchmarking for you. Now, internal benchmarking, that you can definitely do yourself. Just define the relevant metrics you want to look at and say, okay, you know, what are we looking at? What are we comparing? How often are we doing it? And so on. How are we discussing it and so on. So I think internally, you can definitely do it yourself, but to do a proper benchmarking. And I definitely suggest if you're a big company, do this every 2-3 years. If you're a small company, maybe less. Maybe you don't even need it then because it's just not worth the money. But you can't do it too infrequently either because then you don't see if you're moving or not. Right? You also need to be informed if you're actually making a difference with the actions that you're taking. But it's not 2 years and then you're world-class. It's 5 to 10 years. It's a long haul to become world-class. But thanks for that question, Tina. All right, so let's conclude the Hashtag Finance Master show today. We've been talking about benchmarking the finance function, something I highly recommend to improve your performance. We've been talking about some of the benefits and some of the things that you should be benchmarking. And if you go to the article, the blog post from this morning, there's lots of references to more insights that you can dig into. So definitely don't lose out on that. We'll be here same time, same place next week. And you can, of course, catch me on LinkedIn, where I'll still be celebrating my recently acquired top voice badge and status on LinkedIn. That's been many, many years coming for me, I feel. So I'm pretty happy about that. But everyone else, have a great week and hopefully see you again next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?